took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Welcome back to another episode of Glorious Day. I'm Pastor David, and I'm with...
Pastor Barry.
Oh, man, Pastor Barry. We just love, you know, we just love doing this, and we love God, and we just want to help, you know, encourage you all to love God more. And anyway.
Hey, David, you know, the other day, one of our listeners from where I work said, I think I know what you guys are all about. And I said, you do? And they said, yeah, you're just two funny old guys that talk about God in a way that we can understand.
I love it.
Except for the old part. Yeah. I think it was a compliment.
Well,
but we are a little ripe.
We're ripe. Maybe overripe. I don't know. Well, you know, I'd said in the last program, I told my age, 73, just turned 73, so I've got about a year left before I'm 74. But I'm feeling great. I know that many people would look at me and say, you're an old guy.
Nuh-uh. I wouldn't say you're a day over 68.
60. Well, okay, good.
That's old.
So, I'm not exactly radiating youth, you know, yeah. but I'm just so full of life in Jesus, and that's one of the great benefits of following him.
I'm 68 and full of Jesus, and the other day I had a medical emergency where I work, and the nurse asked me, are you still able to run?
Oh, yeah.
And I said, yes, short distances I can still run.
And behind all that was the concern. Should we follow him with a crash cart if he's going to run? And listen, if they do start doing that, don't worry about it.
I trust their judgment.
They're charging up the defibrillator just in case. Anyway.
Yes, sir.
Some people are saying, well, what are you going to talk about tonight?
Oh, can I read this?
Yeah, but...
The theme, David.
The theme for tonight is...
Quit complaining because your prayer doesn't seem to get results.
Yes. And now I'll be confessional and say that... God said this to me not too long ago when I was... I'm deep in prayer, as we all are, hopefully we all are, for a lot of things, but particularly for our nation and for the thing that I know God wants to restore this nation, to be the covenant nation he called us to. Mm-hmm. Way 400 years ago when John Winthrop and the other pilgrims, as they survived the winter and the survivors actually gathered at Cape Henry and among them the Spirit moved and the prayer and everything that came out of that was truly a dedication of this nation, because mm-hmm. they were the founders, you know, and that a dedication of this nation to God, to be a nation from which the gospel would spread to the whole world. And while we've done that over the last 2.5 centuries, it really points to a time, which I believe is today, when the gospel really needs to go out into the world. And as we look to, most likely in some near future time, the second coming of Christ, that God wants to replicate his church all over the world. And this nation has a covenant with God to begin that process in earnest. And that's why we need to continue repenting. Although God, I believe, has heard the repentance of a faithful remnant in America. And you've noticed revival is starting to pop up here and there. And it's not going away. The fire isn't, you know, going down to just a glowing ember. It's moving. And we're going to see it more and more every day. Mm-hmm. And God wants us to pray, all of us, to take responsibility to do that. But I'll say, okay, and I'm kind of getting off on a rabbit trail, but let me kind of hop back to my main point, which is that as I see decisions being made at the highest level in Washington, in our government, and they are not God-honoring decisions. And some of the laws that have been coming out are not God-honoring laws, and I know God grieves over that. And so I've been saying, and I'll be honest, God, when are you going to do something to turn this around?
I think I heard that because we live about a mile apart.
We do. We're about
loud.
Mile and a half, 2 miles. And, and in his loving way, God said, you know, look, I've got my own time that I'm doing all this. I'm perfect and you're not. You just do what I tell you to do, which is to keep praying and believing and have hope.
Amen, because I've very similar experience in my prayer life, and I found myself not listening to God, David, because it was a one-way channel that I had created, praying one direction, and that's not how you pray.
No, but, you know, God wants us to be invested. He really wants us to put our fingerprints on life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the life he's given us, the call he's given us, and, you know, our constituency is the unsaved. So, you know, that's who to whom we're focused. And sometimes I know I get so anxious about people coming to Christ, hearing, receiving the gospel and being saved, that I forget, you know, that, well, God is doing the saving. I'm planting the seeds. Mm-hmm. God is doing the saving. And so if we are coming to you and saying, quit complaining because your prayer doesn't seem to get results, it's because we have both been there.
Oh, yeah.
And I have repented. Seriously, I had to get before the Lord on my knees, say, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, I'm just so anxious. He says, yeah, I know that, but trust me, your anxiety does not bring me glory.
Mm-hmm.
So, and now there's a scripture. Some are saying, well, they got a Bible thing that they're going to read.
Oh, we got a Bible thing. Right there.
We got a Romans 8, 24 through 26. Grab your Bibles. Barry still thinks most of you have them right next to you as the radio, but
yeah,
some
right
of
hand.
You may, yeah. Or you may call it up on your phone, whatever app you use. It's Romans 8, 24 through 26. This happens to be the English Standard Version of the Bible, but, you know, any decent version will read about the same. And we talked earlier about hope, so I love Paul starts in verse 24. For in this hope we were saved. Now, previously, I didn't want to pull in too much scripture to read, but he's talking about Jesus and the saving work of Jesus Christ. So he says, in this hope, the hope of salvation, we were saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope, right? I love that. Now, hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? So right away, and that's all verse 24, and so God has reminded me in this, said, you know, keep hoping you're going to see what I've promised to do in America. And you can, you know, take out that America and you can put in whatever else God has put on your heart that you want him to accomplish, that he has already said he's going to do. We don't see it in the natural right now, but he's been doing, working, warring even in the spirit so that we will see that. Now, hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope, now this is critical, listen to this, verse 25 of Romans 8. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience.
There you go, right there.
Yep. Likewise, verse 26, likewise the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And I got to tell you that when I got on my knees, that was my weakness, to be upset with God not doing what I was praying for him to do. And the Spirit helps us in our way. The Spirit got me on my knees to ask forgiveness and to have that whole thing, you know, taken away so I could get back to my prayer life again. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. And honestly, we don't until God tells us. But then we have this promise. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And this is what we can all count on, but we got to be praying. But Lord knows, and friends, if you are at that point where you're saying, well, God, when are you going to do it? I've been praying for years, put it, you know, fill in the blank. Yeah, yeah. Years, months, days, decades, whatever. When are you going to do this thing? You know, and, well, God isn't going to answer. God won't answer you then. He's going to answer it by that thing you've been praying for, seeing his grace move in the natural when it's right. And I'll tell you right now, if you know, most of you are listening and you're kind of with me on the, what, you know, God healing America, and you're all slapping your forehead every morning. If you look at the news a lot, first of all, you're going to break your forehead. Quit doing it.
Yeah.
But I know we need to catch up with what's going on every now and then. But when you see decisions being made, laws being passed, high-level leaders saying really stupid stuff, you know, and on top of that, you're saying, well, the world's looking at us and they're not too impressed. And you know, you're right. But all of this God has in his hands because he loves us. He loves everybody he's made. He loves every nation. But we are only one of two covenant nations that have ever made a covenant with God, and Israel's the other one. So we have to know God is jealous for us. And but it may not be that. Let's make it personal, right, Barry? Because, you know, we have talked and you've shared in your family, we've prayed for folk. In the nursing home ministry that you have, we've prayed for your folk.
Right.
You pray for them all the time. And Lord knows, there's so many other people that we come across that have great needs, that our prayer is just as focused for them as it is for our nation and for the world.
Well, that's why it's important to, when you hit your knees for prayer, when you get on your knees, slow down and take a deep breath. And if you can't find the words, ask the Holy Spirit to give you the words.
Yeah.
Sometimes my deepest prayers have been without words, where I tend to just rock back and forth, sometimes in joy, sometimes in tears and sadness or fear. That's a prayer. You know, you think about the soldiers out in the field as they're in a battle and they're being shot at. They don't have time for long, drawn-out prayers. They might just scream out, Lord, and that's a prayer, and that's a powerful prayer.
Yes, it is.
I was just looking at in 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And there's so many different weaknesses that can pop up when you get on your knees to pray. One is right here, patience. I consider that a weakness. Impatience is a weakness.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Lack of a cognitive plan in your prayer. I'm just going to pray because I told God I was going to do it three times a day.
Mm-hmm.
Gee, that's real deep.
Yeah.
Or praying the same prayer every day. Not too personal. I had a 105-year-old woman cry because she had forgotten every prayer, every scripture, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
She, at 105, she said, I'm beginning to forget things.
Wow. Yeah.
I said, you're allowed. It's okay. But she cried because she had been raised in a faith where you had many different memorized prayers. She was Catholic. And I said, okay, I'm going to give you a new prayer. And I don't think you'll forget this one. And it's an all-purpose prayer. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I thank you. Amen. Mm. Well, David, about 6 months later, I peeked into her room and she was praying, saying, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I thank you. Amen.
Wow.
Now, those are just two sentences maybe, but behind that, her heart is pouring out to God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know what she's pouring out to him. She may be thanking him for all of her grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and great-great-grandchildren. I don't know. But those are the words that came out of her mouth. Now, you said the Lord knows our mind, knows our heart.
Yes.
But she had to, it just helped her in her prayer life to have some words to say.
I can dig it.
And the other interesting prayer I saw was when I worked in the hospital, there was a guy on a respirator who's intubated, so he couldn't speak. And his family came in, and they were God-fearing, God-loving Christian people who gathered around his bed and were praying for a good hour. And then he put his hands up like, stop. Now, he can't talk. So he raised his hands up above his head and looked up. And you could see he was nodding his head. So he was speaking. God heard every word he said.
Yes.
So sometimes people who maybe are not Christian look at us and say,
yeah,
well, what do they get out of that? You know, here's someone with a terminal disease, and he's praying to God, and is God going to cure him? Or is God going to comfort him? Is God going to bless him with a few more days? I'm seeing in the secular world, I shouldn't say that, use a broad brush, but yeah. Sometimes medical workers can be a little jaded.
Sure.
A little cold. You know, they deal with death every day. And so when it comes to this, from my experience, they become a little bitter. And they look at a praying Christian in a tough situation with a jaded eye. That poor old man. He's over there wasting his last moments.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually heard that.
Yeah.
If they only knew the joy and the hope and the peace that they can get from making contact with their Creator.
We love to judge people. I mean, human beings. Mm-hmm. We judge people. And we do it from our observations, you know, at looking at people, hearing what they say. And if we're not, I mean, people, even Christians do that. You know, I've done that. I don't like to do it. Mm-hmm. These days, when I do it, the Holy Spirit kind of grabs me by the scruff of my neck a little bit and says, all right, you can repent now and, you know, or later, but you got to do that because it's not right. It's part of, it's how prejudice develops.
That's true. That's true.
And, but people, we, you know, we see somebody doing something we don't understand and it scares us.
Mm.
And I know I've talked to people that don't have Jesus in their heart. They may have him in their head, which is mainly, if you have Jesus only in your head, I'll tell you right now, that's not Jesus. That's a little idol you've made that kind of looks like him.
Mm-hmm.
But it ain't going to help you at all. But you know, that's, people do that.
If only, you know, we watch all this TV you were mentioning before with all the bad news on it. Pick a news station, you're going to see some horrific stuff. I got an email from an acquaintance, and it said, why are all these young men killing all these people? Just talking about the mass shootings, you know.
Yes.
And I said, I just typed, answer simple, no Jesus in his heart. And that was like a match and a kerosene lamp, because she was not happy with that answer.
Right.
Because unless you know, you don't know. And so you see praying Christians as being kind of wimpy and weak. Well, they should just stand up and fight their own battle and blah, 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 blah. No. But that situation could have escalated, but I wouldn't back down.
Yeah.
You know, you blame all these world's problems because people don't know Jesus? Yes.
Yeah. You know, and then in a certain political segment in our nation, you know, they've been hammering on the get rid of the guns, right?
Oh, yeah.
And because a lot of those things happen and people use guns.
Well, it goes back to leadership and goes back to us praying to get leaders that are connected with God.
And the key is that, you know, so many people don't have a relationship with the Lord, you know, but, and I always say, and I will tell you right now, I'm a fairly strong Second Amendment guy, but I'm a constitutional guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a constitutional Christian in the sense that I believe God's in the Constitution and should be in our government. But that, you know, the bottom line is that if you took away all the guns, they'd be knives. If you took away all the knives, it'd be rocks. And if you took away all the rocks, we still have cars. And frankly, you can kill a lot more people with a car than a rock.
Sure can.
And the point is, it's not the implement that's being used. It's the person who is using it. And there has been an increase in those kind of violent crimes because there has been a decrease in God in our culture.
Mm.
And that's not God's fault.
No, he's always been there.
That's our fault.
Mm-hmm.
And I say our in a generic, you know, human sense, because, I mean, look at the statistics. I don't like statistics entirely, you have to be careful how you use them. As a former bishop of mine used to say, some people use statistics like a drunk uses a lamppost, more for support than illumination. And that's true. Mm-hmm. But if you take the polls, Gallup poll every year, they do a thing, you know, belief, go to church, what do you believe in God? And I mean, there used to be in the old days, you know, old days, gosh, 20 years ago, maybe the polls would show maybe 80, 85% people believed in God, maybe 60-some went to church,
right?
You know, all of that. But, and of course, those polls aren't too ultra-specific. But the point is we've seen a decline. I hate to use, I'm not going to use the word religion, because that in itself is misleading.
Right.
Although we use it often to talk about church, but more so the spiritual lives of the average American has declined. There are fewer, much fewer people going to church today, under maybe 50% who claim that they go to church. And so the, at least I'm speaking now in America, you get high percentage of people that don't have a relationship with God. They don't have a relationship they nurture and nourish in worship and in good Christian community. And they go into the culture and they do ungodly things.
Well, they're doing what they believe is good or bad in human terms, not in spiritual terms.
Right.
So they don't have a compass, David. They don't have a spiritual compass.
But you put on top of that the current, and there is a tremendous amount of chaos and darkness in our culture right now in America. Not just America, it's in other places, you know. And I'm not speaking down about America, but I'm speaking about how we need to pray as the church that the light of Christ will shine into those dark places. And guess what? We are part of the light. He sends us out.
Right.
You know, he's the light. He says he's the light of the world. But who does he have to go into the world to shed the light but you and I and all the other believers? But as revival, you know, moves and ignites and grows more in our, and really like wildfire, so one day it's going to be like we're going to see it all around us, which is great. But as people's hearts are changed and more hearts are changed, you will see fewer and fewer people that don't have a way to express the frustration that they're currently they're having because they don't know what to do because they're living in a chaotic, hopeless. They see it as hopeless culture. What do hopeless people do? They take their hopelessness out and their frustration out on other people.
Mm.
And sometimes they shoot up churches and schools. And I don't agree with that.
Well, but they're easy targets for Satan.
They're easy targets, and they go to soft targets, people that can't fight back. That's a whole nother dialogue.
That's at least three other programs.
But the point is that, you know, you start complaining about that, and you maybe your prayer life says, I've been praying against that, and it seems to be increasing. Well, God's aware of that, too. You know, that quit complaining.
Mm.
And instead of complaining, begin praising God because he is hearing your prayers. He doesn't send you a notice every week, say, God, I get 20% of your, 50% of your prayers, I'm working on those. He's not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You got to trust him that he's hearing your prayer. He's hearing prayers from everybody for everything.
True.
And those prayers he receives, he hears every one of them, and they will, God will take those prayers, and in his perfect time, and he's not going to come and say, hey, by the way, what's your opinion on when I ought to answer these prayers? He's not going to do that. Right?
You know, I think, David, people need to really stop and think of who they're praying to.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, God is big, okay? He's really big. And he's not compartmentalized. He's not on a bookshelf somewhere. He's all around us, and he is the creator. He made this universe. You go outside tonight, if it's not raining, and look at the stars, and that's just a small, tiny little portion of what God has made. And
Amen.
Yet, who are we to complain to God and push him around a little bit, you know, and say, your timing's off, God. Really?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for reminding me of that.
how arrogant that is, really, honestly.
It really is. It's arrogance. And I always like J. Vernon McGee when he one of his programs, he said, I don't know why God just doesn't step on us like a bunch of annoying bugs.
Yeah.
That's J. Really? Vernon McGee. East Texas theology.
Yeah,
right?
He loves us. East Texas, but translated. He lived in California, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I forget where he was, but in California. But thank God, because his ministry planted seeds that are popping up now.
Still.
There's revival in California, folks. It's happening again.
There's revival in the most unlikely places. I'm hearing people breaking out in prayer in gas stations now.
Yeah.
And you think, wow, they're paying a dollar more than they did a couple of years ago, but they're still taking time to praise God.
It's just Holy Spirit. And that's probably another program, is mm-hmm. to really focus on revival.
Mm-hmm.
But which is, I guess, why we exist anyway. This whole Glorious Day program thing was to kind of reach out to the church
mm-hmm.
In a season of, prior to a season of revival, and now we're in that season. So
right.
all of this is focused on that. How cool is that? We probably have a couple of minutes, so, well, not probably. Actually, I can assure you we only have a couple of minutes.
If I can throw out a last little thought, it's only a few seconds, but my dear friends, when you're praying, it's a conversation, so I'm just gently reminding you to take a pause. If you're asking God a question, or if you're continuously speaking, stop and listen.
Yeah.
Because he has things he wants to share with you.
Yes.
And people say, oh, that Barry's crazy. Yeah, I'm crazy in love with Christ, but I'm telling you,
Amen.
It's a conversation. Listen and learn to recognize the voice of God. And you're going to do that by taking 5 seconds, 5 minutes of praying. 5 seconds, 5 minutes of listening to your Father.
And I promise you, we're going to have a program that's going to be maybe a series, you know, like we do a series
mm-hmm.
sometimes on prayer again, because how critical it is.
Absolutely.
And give you some pointers and, you know, biblically based things about how to pray. And some people know, some people don't, but it's critical today. And I'll tell you one little clue
mm-hmm.
is that God really loves us to spend more time listening to him than talking to him. Because when you're talking, you can't listen. And True. God is the source of all wisdom, which we need today, especially in how to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, God will tell you if you will listen.
Amen.
Oh, I've got a brief prayer. And then we'll have to say good night or goodbye or good day or whatever it is. Good life. Is Father God, just bless our listeners and bless the whole church, Father. There are people that don't know how to pray, and they've been struggling and flailing away, and you have the right way. Call them quietly to be quiet at the foot of the cross and listen to your voice.
Mm.
And if they, when they start wanting to say something, just quietly shush them and speak to their hearts. And in that speaking and in that hearing spiritually, Lord, we know that they'll be blessed. And that in that blessing, they will have new life. Amen.
Amen.
Barry, we'll see you next week, right?
I'll be there.
Okay, me too. God bless everybody.
God bless y'all. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word.
That we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and his perfect plan is unfolding in our time. Oh,